On this week's episode, we talk just how much the Opportunity Rover has exceeded expectations and how much a giraffe sleeps at night.
It's not that much.
Not that much at all. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Support for today's show comes from Advantage Financial Federal Credit Union. If you're interested in becoming a homeowner, come to a home buyer's workshop at 10 a.m. on Saturday, March 9th, located in the lobby of 1200 First Street Northeast. Come for mimosas and stay for mortgages. Go to advfcu.org/pod for details. That's /POD for details.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 312 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Antonio.
Wow. Okay, guys. So we upgraded our Nicks. Nick, old Nick is out.
Yep.
New Nick is in.
Hearts. We go by heart.
Yeah, heart. Because we have, you know, a very high percentage of our very small office named Nick. Okay, cool. Well, we're happy to have you. Antonio is also one of our, you've been a host for a long time now.
A year, almost exactly a year as of about a week ago.
Oh, happy work anniversary. Oh, it's not really work. Happy host anniversary.
That works.
We need a catchier name for that.
I think we do.
Okay, well, we'll workshop it. Antonio, I told you that I would put you on the spot, and I'd like to hear an interesting fact about yourself so everybody kind of knows and gets to know you so that as they go through this podcast journey with you, they feel connected.
So for a background, I am the Mr. Days male Thursday night host.
Oh, okay.
So it's myself and Morgan.
Hey, Mr. Days.
We're a great tag team together.
Hey, Morgan.
And hey, Morgan, shout out.
Hey.
Anyway, so a fun fact about myself is that I myself am also a trivia expert.
What kind of fun fact is that I'm an expert? We've replaced Nick now. Okay.
So yeah.
Yes.
His ego's gone. We got Antonio.
Okay? I am not a trivia expert, just so you know.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Antonio.
Okay. For background, 2007, when I was in eighth grade, I got fifth place in the nation in the Geography Bee. I was in Colorado at the time, won the State Bee, got flown out to D.C. to go over the National Geographic headquarters. And when I was there, Alex Trebek was the host for the national finals, and I finished fifth place.
Okay.
Nice job.
I take back my previous statement. Where
that's
like,
actually
oh.
pretty damn cool.
Like, oh, you're a trivia expert? Wow, Antonio, cool. And I just was kind of being mean. And I take it all back, and that is super interesting. And you
Taste
were way, it. Way smarter than I will ever be. What was, do you remember a fact that you learned from that Geography Bee? Or like, what sealed the deal for you to be in fifth place? That's a huge deal in the nation.
Well,
there's a lot of people here.
What sealed my fate as a fifth place as opposed to the champion was the fact that I had forgotten that Zurich was the biggest city in Switzerland. Instead, I thought it was Geneva because Geneva is home to the second headquarters for the United Nations and so many other international organizations.
Yeah, so you're gonna remember that for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, we have a little celebrity here.
The one thing our listeners want to know, when Alex Trebek was hosting it, did he have the mustache?
No.
Ah.
Whoa. That's what threw you off.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Okay, so in addition to Antonio being here, which we're very excited about, Hart, you just had a birthday last week on Valentine's Day.
To quote Pearl Jam, I'm still alive. It was a blast. It still is a blast.
Yeah. Well, so your fact, though, is Valentine's Day related as well.
Yeah,
I'm
so
hearing.
What is the origin of Valentine's Day? Does anyone know?
This is an open-ended, what is the origin of Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Antonio, you want to throw up some guesses here?
Well, so I know that St. Valentine was, I think, around the Dark Ages era. Somehow he was a Christian martyr, I believe. I'm not really sure the whole story. I just know he was a saint, which is why we call it St. Valentine's Day. Something to do with him being martyred, I believe, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Very close.
Okay, Michael, do you got any guesses?
No, Antonio, I had everything that Antonio just said.
I'm sure.
I had it already, but Antonio beat me to it, so I have nothing.
Okay, I can tell you this. I can tell you that some Orleans guy, I don't know, he was locked in the Tower of London after a battle, and rumors were that the first Valentine, he sent a love letter to his wife as he was locked in the Tower of London, which surprised to me that they let letters get out there. Like, I feel like that you'd lose your male privileges if you were locked in the Tower of London. But anyway, he sent a letter to his wife in 1415, and that was the first Valentine.
Well, I believe the letter was actually smuggled out because it was addressed to the daughter of one of the jailers.
Oh.
So I believe the jailer was the one that snuck it out.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense than me just like, hey, like I'm picturing a guy walking around, hey guys, time to get your mail out here, as they're like locked, chained to a wall or something. So that makes a lot more sense, Michael. Okay, so that's all I know. 1415, first ever Valentine sent, but that's not what you asked.
It was Charles, Duke of Orleans, by the way.
Charles, Duke of Orleans, my man.
So actually, it's the Romans. The Romans celebrated the Feast of Lupercalia from February 13th to 15th. And basically what they would do is they would run around naked and they would sacrifice goats and dogs and slaughtered animals and whip women with them. They would whip women with the meat. It was supposed to make them fertile. Oh. And so essentially what happened is during one of these parties, some guys that were named Valentine literally were sacrificed. And then the church came through and made the martyrs and created St. Valentine's Day because of these guys that were killed during their heathen festival. And that's where we get Valentine's Day.
Okay, so yeah. I was into this story. Like, they're like, oh, everybody's naked. I was like, okay, I'm intrigued. Yeah. That makes sense. And then it just took a turn.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it was a fertility festival, and the women believed that if they were slapped with this dead animal meat, that would make them fertile.
Huh.
So it puts a whole new spin on the whole love concept of Valentine's Day. It was just kind of a fertility fest where everyone was drunk and naked and killed. Sacrifice people and goats and animals.
Huh. I don't have anything to say about
yeah,
that.
I'm trying to think of like some sort of follow-up, maybe some questions.
I got nothing.
That's actually about the least romantic Valentine's Day I can imagine. Getting slapped around with like raw meat. Ew, no.
I do get my steaks medium rare. Mm. So yeah. I don't know what that says.
Man, we're going to do this Valentine's Day old school.
No, I'm picture. We just hosted Dirty Sexy Trivia on Valentine's Day last week, and we gave everyone condoms, and I feel like next year I'm going to give everyone slabs of raw meat.
Yes.
I will not do that.
We've come a long way. We've come a long way.
Cool. Well, happy
Omaha
birthday.
Omaha Steaks. Feel free to sponsor us next year.
Yeah, right? Happy birthday. Happy Valentine's Day. Who's got a good segue? Michael, Antonio? Anybody got a segue?
I think Antonio should go next.
Yeah. Well, have you ever noticed how, like, you know, when two animals, like, with very, very long necks pointed together, it almost looks like a heart, like, in shape? No, not talking about swans, though. I'm talking about the terrestrial, very long-necked. In Chinese, translates into a long-necked deer, believe it or not. Can anybody guess the animal is that I'm talking about?
Long-necked deer?
Yes, that's a Chinese translate. That's a Chinese word for it.
It's gotta be a giraffe,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I also really liked your segue, the heart necks from the Valentine's Day. That's well done.
Thank you.
Okay, so your fact is related to giraffes.
Yes, it is.
This is me throwing you the ball.
Okay.
I could start guessing random.
So with a giraffe,
facts.
you can only imagine, like, you know, with a giraffe, it's got a lot of predators, right? They can see really far out there. They can also be seen from very far away. Kind of like, you know how when you're coming up to a major city, you can see all the giant skyscrapers. With a giraffe coming across the African savannah, you can see them from probably, like, you know, easily half a mile or more away. So you can imagine, like,
half
you know, lions.
Mile?
Oh, yeah. Wow. With those long necks and that flat African grassland, you can only imagine, like, you know, a lion or a hyena or something like that. They can probably see the giraffe from very far away. So as a result, the giraffe has to be alert at all times. Now, what do you think happens, you know, at night per se?
What do we think happens at nights to giraffes?
I'm assuming giraffes sleep. Like, I haven't heard anything in my extensive research that shows they don't sleep.
Well, they sleep, but actually, though, that was only discovered relatively recently.
They sleep standing up.
Yes, they do sleep.
Do they really?
Up.
Yeah,
yes.
I do know that. And their babies just like fall out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the babies. Yeah, could like, you imagine being born and it's like a 10-foot drop?
Well, hello there.
Yeah, welcome. They're awake. They're awake.
They walk almost immediately, don't they?
I think so. I've never really.
They do.
I don't make a habit of Googling live animal births. I've seen the aftermath of sheep giving birth on our farm, and
sure.
It's not something I ever want to think about because I do want children one day, so I don't want to. You know, I don't Google that. Mm. But anyway, so giraffes, they fall, babies, it's a wake-up call.
But
they
sleep standing up.
Yes, they do. And on top, but then again, though, like, how long do you think they sleep for?
Well, how many hours a night?
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. If you're a giraffe, you're right. You're tall, natural predators and stuff like that. Some of them hunt at night, I'm assuming.
Yeah, there's a lot of nocturnal predators,
right.
Yeah.
It can't be that long, especially if it's an animal that sleeps standing up.
But if you're standing up all day and standing up to sleep, doesn't your body have to rest? I mean, that takes muscles just to physically be standing.
Their neck goes down a little bit.
I would figure they just sleep in shifts, you know, like, you know, like 2 hours here and 2 hours there. Is that close?
Actually, even less.
What?
Less than 2 hours a night?
It comes down to about, they break it up in naps. It's about a half an hour a night total.
Wow.
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
So that's your interesting fact. What? Giraffes sleep an average of 30 minutes a night.
And not only that, they are also the animal that sleeps the least. Out of all the animal kingdom, giraffes are the animals that need the least sleep. That's my interesting fact.
Wow. Okay, so you were talking about spirit animals earlier.
Yes.
Would you say that the giraffe is your spirit animal?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm tall and clumsy. When I was at my army officer...
Are giraffes known for clumsiness?
Well, the babies are, at least.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever seen two giraffes, like on National Geographic, like two giraffes fighting?
No.
Because they got those little horns and the thing. They swing their heads at each other to try to catch each other with the horn. It's the most awkward, like, animal fight you will ever see.
Oh, I'm intrigued. My God. We're going to Google that.
Yes. Please do.
I'm very intrigued by that. Okay, so tall and clumsy, at least the calves are, the babies.
Yes.
Any other reasons why giraffes are your spirit animals?
Well, I would say mostly the tall and clumsy part. And so it's funny, though, actually. So when I was at my Army officer course back in ROTC, I'm in the National Guard for a reference to all the listeners here, back about 5 or so years ago, and I was down at Fort Knox, I had a little incident when I was on the edge. I was at the edge of the bleachers. And
how far up the bleachers were you?
I was at the very top.
Oh, no.
And, of course, for also reference, I'm about 6'4 myself. I mean, I am tall. Like,
yeah, that's
it's easy to find Antonio in a crowd.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so, of course, it was hurting. I was sitting on the edge. It was kind of hurting to sit. So I try to get off. I'm in full kit, rifle, everything. My boot gets stuck, and I fall. It was this big, unglorious, like, bam, fall onto the floor, onto the hard concrete.
From the top of the
from
bleachers?
From the top of the bleachers. It was about a good 6-foot drop. The entire, I can imagine, the entire regiment of about 1,000 cadets saw me take that big tumble because my rifle hit the ground really hard. Next thing you know, I'm doing push-ups. It's sometimes like, you know, a quick punishment. This is the middle of a briefing, too.
Oh, no. Oh, 1,000 no. people. That's a lot of people.
Like, saw me. And sure enough,
with the
they
rifle.
Gave me the nickname Baby Giraffe after that. Naturally. Because I'm tall and clumsy.
Aww.
Now, rumor has it that I fell asleep and fell off. Actually, I was just trying to get off on my own.
Aww. That's so many people to fall in front of. But mm-hmm. I'm glad you're okay. You're okay? There were no lasting injuries from your fall?
No.
Okay. So now you know what it's like to be a baby giraffe being born.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that 6-foot fall will probably do it.
You guys understand. Okay, Michael, do you have a segue from baby giraffe / falling / embarrassing
Well, kind
moments?
Of. So kind of having to do with also the animal kingdom.
Oh, okay.
Every year since 1980, there's a race that happens in the Welsh town of, yeah, the problem with Welsh towns. It's in a Welsh town.
Okay. All right.
Happens every June. It's the horse versus man marathon. The man versus horse marathon.
Man versus horse marathon. Okay.
So my question is this. Since 1980, since it started, how many times has the man won? It's a 22-mile race.
22 miles. How do they keep the horse on track? I have a lot of logistic questions.
Well, no. The horse has a rider.
Oh,
what?
So it's a man and
no,
a horse
you're not,
versus
no, it's,
a
it's
man.
No, it's not like both of them are at the starting gate and then you point like there's
That's
the finish
line
picturing. Horse.
I was picturing like tortoise and hare. They're in some lanes and they're just going
is
to
it
the
a
finish line.
Tiny horse? Is it a regular horse?
It's a regular horse.
Okay.
Is it Little Sebastian?
It's not Little Sebastian.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
It's a 22-mile race. Like every great odd thing in the world, it started over a discussion at a bar.
As things do. Mm-hmm.
Two men in a pub. One guy suggests that over any significant distance, a man is equal to a horse. If it's long enough, man or horse, same thing, same time. So they decided to test it, and it's been running since 1980.
What are your thoughts? Have either of you guys have any experience with horses?
So back when I lived in Chile as a little kid, I did do a little bit of riding here and there, given that horse culture is really big.
Yeah.
And all I remember about it was there were a ton of flies, and I was kind of sort of grossed out by just how many flies there were. But once you're actually on the horse and riding at a certain speed, it actually is pretty fun.
Oh, okay.
I would never want to own one, though, because the care for them is just so, so much time and effort.
It is not cheap either. It's
no.
time, effort, and just expensive, but can be fun, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't, though, answer Michael's question at all. So what is your guess for man versus horse since 1980?
So my guess...
You're asking specifically how many times man has won.
Yes, how many times a single runner has outpaced every horse. Because they have about 20 horse and rider combos, and about 50 to 60 runners as well.
I'm going to guess maybe about half, because I know that humans actually have the biggest endurance of any animal.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so I'm going to imagine probably it's about half and half, because I know horses have pretty good endurance, but so do humans.
Okay, so since 1980, we're talking 38 years, right? Is my math right? So what's your number?
We'll go with 18.
18.
18 times man has beaten horse, okay?
Yes.
I'm going to guess one time, because, I mean, it had to happen at least one time for it to continue to happen, but it had to be like a fluke. You know, like there's a thing, maybe like there's like a joke where there was twins, you know, and one popped up on the other side or something, you know? I don't know. I'm going to go with once.
What is this horse versus man conspiracy twin theory that you're throwing out here, please?
I'm just, it's probably a hustle, you know? So, like, there was a twin in a bar, and he sat there, and he was like, yeah, I bet I can do this. And then they went and gone, and they went in the woods. And the next thing you know, like, on the other side of the woods, this guy pops out, wins the race. I don't know. That's my guess.
Okay. So, one. So, man has beaten the horse one time.
One time.
All right. We have one and 18 as guesses.
Okay. Well, where do I fall? How much does the person riding the horse weigh?
I'm assuming it's...
Is it like a jockey size guy? Is it an average size guy? Is it an obese woman? I need to know.
It looks like they have a picture on from what looks like the 2017 one on this article from Runner's World. Looks like a normal person. Like kind of a little
person.
Thin, but
okay.
Like it's not like small jockey people. I mean, I assume this is just kind of take your average person, put them on a horse.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, 400... pound person on a horse is a lot more strenuous for the horse than like
sure.
a 90 pound jockey. I don't that wouldn't
right,
affect my math, but you know.
Also, there's a number of horse and rider pairs. There's, you know, there's 20 sets of pet.
So there's multiple horses across
and more,
this
and multiple runners.
Okay. How far does each thing go?
22 like, miles. The whole race is 22 miles. They follow the same course.
Right, but when do I get to pass the baton?
It's not a relay.
Wouldn't they get trampled? Like if they'll start at the finish line or the start line?
I guess I'm not visualizing the race
okay.
here effectively. So multiple people are competing against multiple horse and people pairs.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah.
There could be like hundreds of entries.
Well, they cap it, but yeah.
Okay. I'm picturing like a Michael Phelps versus a shark 1v1. Again, tortoise and the hare going straight forward.
I'd imagine that's not how it works. I'd imagine it happens similar to I've run a couple like 5Ks and stuff like that, where you kind of just you go in a wave potentially, like you get a chip and you get your start time and end time, and that's how it comes up with it.
I got you. The only real races I've done is the zombie, and that's just because I could stumble the whole time.
Though the picture is it's like it's the guy and then the horse.
Okay.
From 2017.
That doesn't really change my guess, right?
Not really.
I could go one way and say that man has never beaten the horse, right? Which I think would be the obvious answer, right? Because horses are strong. Yeah. There's a reason that cavalries are, in general, historically speaking, very valuable in warfare, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Stronger, bigger, faster, right?
I concur.
However, Nick already said one, and why in the world would you be asking this if it wasn't really weird or interesting?
Sure.
So I'm going to say that man has beaten the horse, let's say, 28 times.
28 out of 38.
Yes. Or is it 38 out of 38? I don't know. I'm going to go that way and say the man
all
wins.
Right. Heart's closest.
It's zero.
It's two.
Two.
Oh! So the hustle, they got him twice.
In 2004 and 2007.
I'm just more upset that Knicks keep getting the answers right.
Yes.
Well done. Okay, so when were they?
2004 and 2007.
Okay.
Were the 2 years. In 2004, the man won by, looks like, just over 2 seconds.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Mm.
And then in 2007, it looks like about 11 seconds was the difference.
Whoa.
But over 22 miles.
Cool. I don't get it, but cool.
I ran across it and went, this is amazing.
You ran across it? You're really hoofing it?
Oh, wow.
You're really hoofing it there.
And then it mentions, so what happens if the runner beats the horse? The prize money rolls over every year a human doesn't win.
Okay, cool. Ooh.
So the first person that won in 2004, they got 25,000 quid, which roughly $31,000.
Cool. And so it's just less than a marathon. So
it's 22.
So what
miles.
Are the average times? Or you don't know those?
Oh no, I got the times here.
Okay, so like what was the time when the man beat the horse?
2 hours 20 minutes.
Wow.
In 2007.
That's really good.
And then they also some of them have like the weather conditions.
Wow.
So I will mention both times that the man beat the horse. Weather conditions are listed as hot.
Ah. Mm. So marathons take you like 4 hours. So.
Right.
Hmm. Cool. Well done, Michael. You're interesting.
I think like the top marathon runners maybe do it in three.
Yeah, I don't know. I've made it very clear how I feel about running. I respect you, but it's not for me.
And I'm dating a track runner right now, so.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think she's faster than me.
Yeah, I would assume so. If she's a runner, that makes sense. Would she beat a horse?
I mean, I can ask her.
Yeah, please. Please,
we'll get you all the info, and Antonio with the We Don't Know Either live update.
Yeah.
From the man versus horse.
Okay. So, Michael, I'm going to segue from yours. You said that the race was 22 miles.
Yes, it did.
My fact is very sad, as we close out the show with my extremely sad fact. So 22 miles, that's a long distance.
It is.
But even more than 22 miles is 28 miles, and that's the distance that Opportunity traveled during its time on Mars.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. the Opportunity Mars rover. You were a great little rover man or woman. I don't know. I don't know if they assign, if it's a man or woman. I don't know. But it's a rover, and it's adorable, but it's dead.
Flip them over.
That's going to be our secret phrase, by the way. It's adorable, and it's dead. Okay?
Dark.
Dark, yeah. It's adorable, and it's dead. Valentine's Day was last week. We're moving on. It's adorable, and it's dead. That's going to be your secret phrase. So anyway, the Mars rover Opportunity was given a set number of days that it was supposed to last for when it was originally launched in, you know, early 2000s. So my first question is, how long was it supposed to have lasted on the surface of Mars?
I'm going to say at least for a month.
A month? Okay, give me it in days. Or, I mean...
In days? I'm going to say 30
Sol's
days.
Sol's technically. I have Sol's and Earth days, but they're very similar because a Mars day is just a little bit over 24 right. hours. As we've learned from what's-his-face.
24-17, is it?
24 hours, 39 minutes, and 35.27 seconds is a Sol. Or Sol? I don't know.
S-O-L?
S-O-L.
Sol, I think.
I don't know. I watched The Martian, and that's... It's, if you drank every time he said that word, you'd be dead. Okay, so you, Antonio, how many days?
I'm going to say about 30 Earth days.
30 Earth days.
So about 29 Sols.
29 Sols.
I pretty much think I know this because I think I saw it on Facebook. So do you want me to chime in?
I'll take a guess first.
You take
then.
A guess first. Here we go. Typical Knicks being right.
I'm going to say about, a little over 6 months. So I'm going to say like 190 Earth days.
Uh-huh. 190 Earth days, Nick?
I'm pretty sure it's 15 days.
Oh, no, you're definitely wrong.
Really?
Yes, you are wrong. It's it is slightly more than 90 Earth days, so 90 Sols. Sols. I'm so sorry if I'm saying that wrong. 90, so 90 days. And okay. Now my follow-up question, how much more did it last? So it was supposed to last 90 days. It just passed away. They lost contact with it last year in 2018. They declared it dead, I'm using air quotes, because how do you declare a rover dead? But
did I get it backwards?
So close. So my question is, how much longer did it exceed expectations, right? See what I'm asking?
I think so.
So how much longer did it exceed its original expectations?
Antonio, you want to jump in?
So it's supposed to be 90 Sols in early 2000s. You know that it just ended, so... How many times? How many years, really? Days, etc.
Oh, gosh. So, basically, by how much did it exceed its expectation?
Right, yeah. How long did it outlast its original prediction of how long it would last on Mars?
I'm going to say about maybe 100 more sols than it was supposed to.
Okay. Okay.
Well, this is basic math. You said it was 94?
90 days, yeah.
Wait.
No, when it landed?
It was launched on 2003,
so it's
and it landed in 2004.
Yeah, so that's
so it was 15, a planned
that's
9
that's
15 90
years.
Day.
Right?
15 years, yep.
I'm going to go with my original answer for this answer, which is what I meant to say.
15 years, okay,
yeah, 15
Michael.
Years, I thought, is what I read on it.
Yeah, so it exceeded its operating plan by 14 years, 295 days. This is Earth time, by the way. So that's 55 times its designated lifespan.
Wow. I'm sorry, my brain is fried. I can't do math right now.
Yeah, 55 times its designated lifespan. So obviously NASA super happy about this because that is some bang for your buck. That's like buying a $10 sweater and it lasts you for a decade, right? It's incredible. So why do you think that it lasted so long? What did NASA do to, like, why did it last? What are your thoughts? Anyone.
Anybody jump in. Feel
actually,
free.
It's got to be rechargeable batteries of some sort. So.
Yeah, well, it had solar panels on it, if memory serves.
It did have solar panels on it, and that's part of the reason that they lost contact with it because of a huge dust storm.
Was it American-made? Is that why? Because of America? America!
Or the Chinese solar panels.
I don't know the exact specifications of where NASA gets their parts, but I'm assuming that, you know, NASA is an American company, so I'm assuming it is built here.
It's got American tires on it, man.
Yeah.
They actually referenced, I read a thing on it, they referenced, like, the things that were going wrong with it as it was dying. One of them was the tires, that the tires were so worn.
Oh, but I figure the fact that it traveled 28 miles, I mean, in 15 years, I mean, it's the fact that it went such a short distance every year kind of contributed to its longevity as well.
Well, I mean, a short distance for us, but a long distance for the record for the longest distance traveled on Mars, depending on the way you look at it, right?
Curiosity hasn't beaten it yet?
No, it has not. But it's so the Spirit rover landed 3 weeks around when that only lasted for about 5 to 6 years-ish. But one of its tires broke, and it had to spend 4 out of the 6 years that it was on Mars just driving backwards. But they still got 4 more years of data on it because they're just like, oh, well, if it can't drive forward, it just drives backwards, which I thought was pretty cool. Well done, NASA. And the storm that, you know, RIP opportunity, was 15.8 million square miles. Roughly, this dust storm was the size of the entirety of North America and Russia combined. Ooh. So Mars is some pretty big
storms. To put 28 miles in perspective for everybody as well, especially for the D.C. audience. The distance from Washington, D.C. to Rockville is 31 miles.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Perspective.
Yep. Yeah, cool. So I'll make sure to drop some pictures and some more information. Let's, you know, raise a glass of oil or solar sun. I don't know. I was like, what's the proper
Sunny
send-off?
Sunny D.
Oh, I love Sunny D.
I do not.
I love Sunny
D. But anyway, Antonio's going to be back next week. Maybe we'll invite Nick back. We'll decide. We'll take a vote, Survivor style. But this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Nicholas.
And I'm Antonio.
We don't know either.
See you.